Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live here at Cheesehead TV. With me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we're joined, as always, by our very own Jamie Jors and John Rahor of our fan blog, Eat More Cheese, along with Holly Phelps from BrentFarve.com. Corey, tell us, what is on tap tonight?
Joining us right now, on the line, Tremont Williams, world champion!
Corey's a little
what's
excited.
What's going on?
Oh, yeah, what's going on? Woo!
Oh, thank you so much for being here, Tremont. Oh, man. So we can't believe you're here.
Yeah,
obviously, I know
it.
You met Corey in the Super Bowl. At the Super Bowl, Corey was there. He was very professional.
Yeah.
Tonight, that's all off. Corey's an Uber fan. Tremont, yeah. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So I have to say, top three Tremont Williams moments. Number three, that I attended, okay? That I attended. Number three. Punt return versus Carolina for a touchdown in 2007. Number two, picking off Michael Vick in Philadelphia in the playoffs. And number one, Matt Ryan, pick six, Tremont!
So, Tremont, if you never want to come on again, we totally understand.
I like the energy, man. I like the energy.
There you go.
So let's get down to brass tacks here. How are you feeling? How's camp going? A couple preseason games under your belt. How's it feel to be back?
It feels great, man. You know, after the long layoff, you know, I think everyone was kind of anxious to get back and get football back into their system. So it's been wonderful. Camp has been going well. Obviously, the schedule has worked out for the players, so. I think that's a good thing. And, you know, a couple preseason games under our belt. Everyone's kind of getting their legs up underneath them. And, I mean, a couple more preseason games, and we'll be ready to go.
Have you noticed, I guess this has kind of been, you know, commented on across the league, but have you noticed your side of the ball being a little bit ahead of the guys on the other side of the ball? You think the defense has got a little advantage over the offense, or has it just been kind of back and forth day to day?
Advantage, I mean, I think it's an offensive game myself. So, me personally, I think, you know, defense is kind of faced with an uphill battle. So, I guess that's just me speaking defensively. But that's the way I see it. I mean, the fans and the people around the world want to see points, and that's the way they call a game. So we just have to adjust to it as a defensive player and just continue to play our game.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your website that you launched recently, 38reasons.com, and mm-hmm. And your clothing line. Tell us a little bit about that. What was the impetus behind it, and you know, how did you get going on that? How's it going? I know you pimped it a little bit on the sidelines there during the preseason game. How have things been?
It's been great. I mean, it's been selling, so that's always a good thing. I actually have a lot of products, from hoodies to T-shirts to thermals, and I have some fan-friendly stuff, something that's called Tremontize. It's a T-shirt that's called Tremontize.
I like that one.
I think the fans love it, and you know, it's I've heard some things like going Tremondas, and some people saying Tremontosaurus, and some other things. It's some other things out there, but I think the Tremontized one was unique for the Super Bowl run that we had, and some of the plays that I've made throughout the season in the playoffs. I think that was the proper one to use. So I actually used that one, and it's been doing great.
Why specifically did you name it, the clothing line's named Unwanted to Untouchable? What's the thinking behind that?
You know what? Unwanted to Untouchable is also, you know, I have it on my shirt also, so I wanted it to Untouchable. If you know my bio and you know my history, pretty much I was unrecruited out of high school, had to walk on into college, and done what I had to do in college, then went undrafted into the NFL. So I always felt unwanted, you know, and now, you know, we've won a Super Bowl. I've been on a successful team, and I feel untouchable now. So I felt that was the right way to go with the name of it. Unwanted to Untouchable. I mean, pretty much saying, I started off with a lot of adversity, but now I persevered that, and, you know, now I'm successful now. So that's pretty much the thinking behind it.
Do you still carry that, you know, the chip on your shoulder, so to speak? I know we've heard Aaron Rodgers talk a lot about how every slight that he's had in his past still drives him. I mean, he's still naming teachers who said he couldn't succeed back in college, you know. Is that something that you, the unwanted, thing, is that something that you still draw from week in and week out and, you know, play by play, game by game?
I think so. It's something that you always wonder, how did you go unnoticed, you know, throughout your career when you had production, you know, throughout your career, and you never have an answer for it. So you find yourself continue looking back and feeding off that, even though you know you're not going to find an answer for it. You kind of imagine that it is an answer out there, and you're still looking for it. So that's the image you kind of feed off.
Getting back to the football field real quickly, when the change was made from Bob Sanders to Dom Capers, and you found out you guys were going to the 3-4, how much, I mean, I know obviously it's a big change, but how much did your game have to change? How much technique work did you have to do? How much film study, things of that nature? Was it something you just poured yourself into? How did you go about that?
You know what's funny about it? When I came out as an undrafted free agent, I went to Houston, and that was the year that Dom had just left as the head coach of Houston, and that was the defense they was running. And I actually got a chance to fill out that defense when I was in Houston. So when Dom got there, I kind of knew some of the terminology and some of the things that they were doing, so it wasn't too hard for me to adjust to it at all. So when Dom came in, I think he already knew who I was, and you know, we just kind of bonded from that point on. You know, I never really had a hard time picking up the defense because, like I said, once I was in Houston, I had already kind of picked up the defense. And Dom had added a few more wrinkles to it, but it wasn't too hard.
Who is the toughest receiver you've had to cover in the NFL?
The toughest receiver? This is going to go back to the point of you asking if it was an offensive game or defensive game.
Right.
I say it's an offensive game. It depends on what the referees are letting you do out there.
Nice.
It depends on how they're calling the game. If they letting us play, I think I can compete with anybody out there. If they're not letting us play, then you got to adjust your game to. And the person I had to adjust my game to most this past season was Brandon Marshall, because I mean they let him done a lot of things. At the line, from grabbing to pulling and doing things like that they wouldn't call. So, you know, I had to adjust my game and, you know, to be able to compete with him, because he's a big guy. You know, he's a big guy. He actually runs like a smaller guy, and he has the strength of a big guy. So he had a lot of things working for him in that favor. So I had to adjust to some things throughout the game and made a couple plays for my team.
Yeah, you did.
You got, yeah, you did.
You got the nice pick there on the sideline.
Yeah.
speaking of you know, receivers and covering guys and what the refs let you do and they don't do, I mean, Charles Woodson's been pretty vocal on that. And I know a lot was made during the broadcast about who would be covering opposing teams' number ones. And everybody knows that Dom likes to slide Charles Woodson inside in the nickel. Is that something that you and Woodson talk about ever? Like, I want this guy. I want him. Or is it just something that Dom gets to decide and you don't really have a whole lot of say in it?
You know what? I think it's to the point now in our defense to the coaches trust trust the guys back there so much to it really don't matter. I mean, the defense runs better when Charles is inside and he's giving looks and he's going after the quarterback. So that leaves me and Sam outside, you know, to cover these guys. And at this point, it really don't matter, you know, who's going to cover the number one guy. For the most part, I've covered the number one guy throughout the season, but I don't think it matters anymore at this point.
Well, I got to agree with that one. You guys have been ball hawks extraordinaire for the past season and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Tremont, I've got a lot more questions, but I want to keep you all night. It's just absolutely astounding that, A, you're on the phone.
Yes.
B, you know who we are and on our website. Of course, you probably don't know who we are, but that's all right.
That doesn't matter.
But I
actually follow you guys on Twitter, so I know who you are.
I know
who you are now.
I would be totally remiss if I did not say, for all the world to hear, you have been Corey Behnke's favorite Packer for a very long
time.
A very long time. So this is an absolute thrill for both of us, but especially for Corey.
I still appreciate it, Corey, and you too, Aaron. I mean, I know it's kind of hard to see a guy come in who they bring to the practice squad and expect that guy to be a player, you know, the next year or two. So some guys have a feeling about some guys, and thank you, Corey, for having that feeling about me.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah.
Fantastic.
You're amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Come on.
We're putting that on a soundbite, and we're putting it on a ringtone.
Tremont!
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tremont Williams,
man,
Super Bowl champion, here with us tonight. Tremont,
with the ring.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Have a great season, and we'll see you in the Super Bowl.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Yato 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tremont Williams.
Wow.
Joining us here at Packer Transplants.
I think we should take a break.
We've only been 15 minutes. We got another 15 to fill.
Oh, man.
I know you're overwhelmed. Do you want to take a moment?
It's a little overwhelming.
I mean, I know. It's just incredible.
Dude, he's an amazing player.
He's an amazing story. He's an amazing guy. I mean, I didn't want to say anything. You know, I don't want to get too personal. But he's an amazing dad. He's got a beautiful child. He's got a lovely family. And he's a Packer, and he's a world champion. And he's Packer people. You can belittle the phrase Packer people all you want. But if you want to distill it, you got a great picture there with Tremont Williams. Great player, great man, great. Greatness is all you need to describe Tremont Williams.
So are we taking a break?
No.
Oh.
No. It's time. It's time for you to read your script.
Oh, here we go.
Time for you to read the script.
We got the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Matt Flynn.
Generating trade talk that will never come to fruition.
We got Chaston West.
97 yards and a Lambo leap.
Graham Harrell.
Looking a little better than he did the week before.
And we got the bad. We got Derek Sherrod.
You know it's bad when they say, look, Derek Sherrod's in the game, and then you give up a sack.
TJ Lang.
You may have been named the starter, but ooh, rough game there, TJ.
Brandon Ross.
Equals smoked.
And we got the ugly. We got, who is this? I'm sorry. DeAndre Burrell. I did that on purpose.
That is one of the greatest moments ever on Facebook.
I mean, we just talked to Tremont, okay? And then you make me read DeAndre Burrell. Come on.
Fumbling away his chance at a roster spot.
Woo!
Oh my goodness!
Welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to Packer Transplants. How are you tonight, Corey?
I'm good. How's the live blog going?
We just talked to Tremont Williams.
I still can't believe it.
I don't know if you were aware, but Tremont Williams called. He called us. He was on our show. We asked him questions. You yelled at him. It was great.
Woo! Still can't believe it.
Okay, so. In the world of the Green Bay Packers, what is going on?
What's going on with Ryan Grant?
What is going on with Ryan Grant? I think Packer fans everywhere are trying to figure this out. All right. So let's break it down real quickly here, because I think most people who are on the live blog and going to be listening to this later and watching it, blah, 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 are already up to speed. But just in case you're not, Ryan Grant was, you know, reportedly given his $1.75 million roster bonus earlier this year, when or a few weeks ago when he came to camp.
Yeah.
Game comes out today that, no, lo and behold, he actually was asked to take $1 million off his base salary the very first day of camp, which he did. He agreed to in exchange for having his salary guaranteed for the remainder of the season. Which kind of puts a damper on the article by Tom Silverstein in the Journal Sentinel this morning, talking about how the Packers may have a tough choice to make in regards to Ryan Grant or Dimitri Nance. Now, wow, did people freak out about this article. I had tons of people on Twitter. I had tons of emails. I had emails from people who run fantasy sites all over the country who were asking me, what's up with the Silverstein article? Now, here's my take. I don't think Ryan Grant's going anywhere. I didn't think it before. I definitely don't think it. Well, not definitely, but I really don't think it after it's now come out that his contract's guaranteed, so if they cut him, they still have to pay him, yada, yada, yada. But I will say this. It doesn't surprise me at all if they are having those conversations. Because Dimitri Nance, people like to knock him and say, oh, he couldn't win the job last year. Go back and watch his carries last year. He barely got any. He wasn't really given a chance. I mean, people talk about Brandon Jackson failing, and he didn't light the world on fire, but again, he was given, what, 8 carries a game?
Dude. Brandon, okay.
9 carries a game?
Everybody, nobody better hate on Brandon Jackson.
No, we're not, we're past that.
Okay.
But Dimitri Nance, go back, this is my point for people who say, oh, Dimitri Nance is terrible, he couldn't win the job. Go back and watch the New York Giant game. He had a couple fantastic runs in that game that showed, real vision, real burst, real power. Some might say like a young Ryan Grant, kind of like Ryan Grant looked in 2007 when he burst on the scene. Now, I'm not saying he's going to come in and put up Grant-like numbers from 2007. What I am saying is that he's a young back who, is designed for this kind of offense, the one-cut-and-go kind of running game, which is what they run in Green Bay, the zone blocking, find the cutback and go. Plant your leg and go. Ryan Grant, set to make, a little under $4 million now. Dimitri Nance, set to make like a couple hundred thousand. I have no question that Ryan Grant will most likely be on the roster this year. I have no doubt about that. But it would not surprise me whatsoever if Ted Thompson saw Dimitri Nance in practice, saw Dimitri Nance in a couple games, and said, you know what? He's my guy. It's Ted Thompson. The guy traded Brett Favre, for goodness sake.
So what does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I don't think it will, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's Ted Thompson. People are like, oh, that's absolute lunacy. No, it's not. It's Ted Thompson.
That's true.
The man,
I don't pretend to know more.
He's going to do it.
I don't pretend to know more than Ted Thompson.
Which is wise.
Well, it's wise for two reasons. One, Ted Thompson is smart, and two, I'm not. But
you're smart.
He's also won a Super Bowl, and I haven't.
You're smart in other areas, Corey.
Boom, boom. So, we just had Tremont Williams on our show. What about Alex Green? Everybody's like all hot on Alex Green.
Well, he had one very nice play in the screen pass, which was a great play.
That was sick.
It was a great play. He showed great vision.
I liked it.
He bounced off a guy, did a spin move, got a bunch of extra yards, got down to the 1 yard line. Other than that play, he looked good, but nothing special. He totally blew a pass protection, play allowed Matt Flynn to get hit in the back. I wrote about this earlier this week here on SheSaidTV.com about, he's got to shore that up. He's got to prove to the coaches that he can step in there and take on a back. Now, I had somebody apparently from the University of Hawaii, where young Green went, who says that their backs cannot get on the field if they cannot pass protect. That is the number one priority. That may be. I don't watch a whole lot of college ball, so I'll take that for what it's worth. But the tape says, holy cow, he got blowed up in pass protection. Blocking at Hawaii and blocking in the NFL is a little different. You're taking on some different guys. For instance, you might be taking on an NFL defensive end rather than a blitzing corner out of the NCAA football ranks. So, he's exciting. Out in space, he actually looks good up there between the tackles. But let's get him to pass protect.
Yeah,
and that's not that surprising. Brandon Jackson looked god awful. his rookie year in pass protection, and he improved to be the best back at pass protection in the backfield. So, no warning bells, but he's got to get better if he wants to get on the field.
My favorite part of the live blog in a preseason game is, you know, the diehards once you're in, like, the third quarter.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, because they're like, this guy has run really well in practice, and he needs to get a chance, and this guy's terrible, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. It's like, it's like me, Jamie, and Jersey Al, and that's it.
So, speaking of you.
It's funny.
And your opinions on Packer players.
Are we on the homepage of Livestream yet?
In the third quarter.
What is going on? We need it.
Let me ask you this.
For a half hour, we're supposed to be on the homepage of Livestream.
Let me ask you this. As you're trying to avoid the question already before I even ask
what
it.
What would you like?
Why do you hate Matt Flynn?
What?
Why do you hate Matt Flynn?
No, I just felt like a lot of people jumped the gun on. It's like the media. Okay.
Oh, no. It's the media's
fault. This is going to be my Jon Stewart moment, but I'm not going to be as funny, right?
Okay.
Basically, the media.
Don't look at me. I ain't the media. Don't look at me.
It's all about
the media.
A
what is
race.
The media? What
it's
is the
all
media
about
do?
This race to, I got to be the first person to say that Justin Harrell is good. Right?
Justin Harrell?
Whoever that may be.
I don't know.
Whether it's Matt Flynn.
Right. Whoever.
Or Tremont Williams.
Any player.
Whoever it is.
Okay.
You have to be the first person to say, oh, I said that. So it kind of arose out of that. Speaking of Wildy.
Okay, well, first of all, we haven't spoken of Wildy, but that's where it came from because you were tweeting back and forth with Wildy during the game, which I found hilarious.
No, well, it all came from that. That's where all the Matt Flynn. I love Matt Flynn.
Well, because
I love
you tweeted
any
person that
plays for the Packers.
I know.
Does well
except
for the Packers.
Except for Darren College when he was here. So
that's not true.
So wait, but it came out of the fact that Matt Flynn got in and started throwing the ball around, looked really good, and Banky over here tweets, "I'm just waiting for Jason Wildy to tell me how good Matt Flynn is." Like,
because he always does, dude. Well,
because Matt Flynn looks good.
But, like, since the beginning of Matt Flynn being on the team and having, like, half of a good game and writing an article about, oh, my gosh, he's so good. And he played in a game that he lost.
Right.
So you saw, like, three drives, and now you're the first person to say he's good.
Right.
That's all.
I love it when you get all upset. I love it.
Are we going to take a break now?
Well, almost.
Shocked.
We're almost.
I know.
But we got one more thing to get in before we take a break, which is this story out of Green Bay, which is like, I mean, you couldn't. It couldn't be more yokel if you tried. So the Green Bay Packers, after their game with the Arizona Cardinals, disposed of their playbooks. They put them to be shredded. Now there's been some misconceptions about this here, people. They were not put in the trash. They were not put in the garbage. They were put to be shredded. They aren't shredded on site. I know because we do this at my work. We use a similar company. So they put them with like it's kind of like a bin where you put everything, and then a company comes and picks it up, takes it off site to shred it there. And it's split. They have all these contracts, and I have no doubt that the company that was working for the Packers, emphasis on was, will no longer be working for the Packers. So this company who came to take the stuff that was to be shredded, the truck somehow dumped.
This is sounding more and more like an episode of The Office.
It kind of is. Dumped like a ton of paper all over the streets of Green Bay. And in these papers were pages of the Packers playbooks. Now, the media or the reports that have covered this story have all, to every one of them, said, and I think this has come out of the Packers, I think they've put this out there, that it was only special teams pages. And
of course it was.
And then everyone's like, oh, isn't that funny? Of course they were throwing away the special teams pages because they're special teams stink.
Under
so
the
fun.
Rug.
About 5,000 people tweeted that this morning. You're all really clever. All right. So, enterprising person in the town of Green Bay who just happened to find a couple of these pages.
I wonder who that was.
Emailed them to me today. And I'm here to tell you, people.
Wow.
It wasn't just special teams pages. I'm not going to show you too much.
Wow.
Because I'm a fan. But I find this hilarious. That's, you get the white balance. That's a defensive page. That's a defense. That's defense. That's not special teams. Yeah, you focus on that. There we go. See? That's defense. That ain't special teams. Yeah. That's defense. Anyway, so I don't say defense on there. Yeah, I don't want to show too much. But this is the Okie spin, the N22 Okie spin. It's great because they break it down each play. There's two plays here, two different ones. And one's normal down and distance. One's and they give the percentage for each play of how much they want to pressure off of each one. It's great.
That ain't gonna happen.
No, it's fine. It's good. It's good. I'm glad we don't. But I found this one. This is a special teams page, and I found this really exciting, and really, really interesting. And this is.
Did you just say exciting?
I did because I'm like Brian Caribou over here. I'm very excited for special teams.
Okay.
I'm gonna email this to you later, Brian, because I know you're a special teams guru. But this is great. This is their page. Versus a long field goal attempt. So this is when the opposing team is going to kick like a 56-yarder or something, and you anticipate, well, they might get short, they might kick it short, you have a guy back there to run it back. And I just love this. These are the instructions for the team. I love this. The returner will set up in the end zone or on the goal line, depending on the distance of the kick attempt. When the field goal, I love this, when the field goal is short, our returner will catch the ball nonchalantly, eyeing the opponent's reaction to the missed field goal. We anticipate the opponent players will start to go off the field to their bench. In the meantime, our team players will go toward our sideline and set a wall. At the appropriate time, our returner will explode toward our sideline, find the wall, and sprint toward the goal line to score. I love that. That's very inventive.
That copywriting?
Yeah. Look for that this season. If it ever happens. Now they'll probably totally tear that up.
Oh.
But I thought that was a great idea. That's a great idea. You know, they're going to go like, oh, we missed it, and then you're going to run. Of course, that'll never happen because they're going to see you catch the ball.
I've never seen that before.
I never have, but it's a good idea. I'm trying to save Sean Slocum's job here, people.
With the lost papers from the garbage.
By showing everybody his playbook.
There you go.
Anyway.
Can we take a break now?
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk offense. We're going to talk defense. We're going to talk special teams with Brian Caribou. So stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Packer Transplants live in the house. I'm here with Corey Behnke. Thank you all for joining us this evening. I don't know if you heard, but Jermon Williams was on our show tonight.
Yeah, he was.
It just blows my mind. But right now, we're going to switch to the other side of the ball. We're going to talk about the offense for a little bit, and we're going to start off with what seems to be all the rage. All the talk of the town is the no-huddle offense.
The offense, yeah. It's like, can't get it together till I get in the no-hurry.
We got Aaron Rodgers pulling the trigger there. I think the no-huddle is being...
No-huddle!
I have no doubt we'll see a bunch of it this year. I think it's being a little hyped.
It's a lot hyped.
I mean, everybody's writing about it. Everybody's talking about it.
It's stupid.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think it's stupid.
That's what they always would say about Favre, too. Like, he'd overthrow.
Right.
And then,
we get into a rhythm.
No huddle. Now we're in the rhythm.
Well, I just think that a lot's being made of how, the offense looked out of sync early. But if you go back and you watch the throws Rodgers is making, a lot of them are like 15, 20 yards down the field. And then when they go to the no huddle, Rodgers is throwing 5-yard outs. He's throwing slants. He's throwing comebacks, like short, right off the line, some stuff in the flat. I think it's more a product of getting Rodgers in rhythm. If you listen to any post-game remarks from Rodgers over the years, when they've done well offensively, he always talks, or even when they don't, he always talks about the offense getting in rhythm, and specifically himself getting in rhythm with his receivers, with his line, with his protections. And I just think that's what you saw more than the no huddle. You saw some safe, short throws to get him going. And then once he got going, he got rolling, then he hit Finley for the big one, and they were down, and boom, back shoulder to Jennings for the day at the office, right?
Yep.
So
That was
That's a hot throw, man. That's a hot throw, and there are not too many combos in the NFL that can pull that off.
As preseason's games go,
right?
That was a good one.
Yes, it was. I particularly like the 97-yard touchdown.
Like that.
That's always shades of Robert Brooks going 99 against the Bears.
Mm.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Taking me to my childhood.
Speaking of Chasten West, I love the fact that his mom won't come see him play until he makes the team. I love that.
Doesn't want to jinx it.
She says, call me when you get good. That's the quote. Call me when you get good. guy just went 97 yards for a TD and a Lambeau leap. Call me when you get good. Get good equaling make an NFL roster. Mama with the hard love.
So is it going to happen?
For Jastin West. Well, I tell you what. Randall Cobb's knee injury certainly helps his chances. You don't like to see that as a Packer fan. Randall Cobb is a talent. Anybody who's seen him in practice or in the first preseason game can see that. But he is young. He is a rookie. He's got a lot of work to do, and now he's hurt.
Yeah.
Hurt himself on a kickoff return. So apparently bruised both his knees. How does that happen?
Wow.
But anyway, so now his status apparently is in doubt for the opener against the Saints. So with that in mind, yeah, you got to think Jastin West has got a little bit more of a shot. Now, I don't know if that's a lock, if that's, you know, for sure. Obviously, a lot's going to depend on how he, you know, how he produces in practice, how he plays, how he does in teams, how he does in the games, mostly how he does in the games. But, you know, so he's got a window here. He's definitely got a window to make some noise, make a case for either, you know, making the roster here or possibly getting traded someplace else to somebody, another wide receiver needy team other than the Chicago Bears.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I don't either, but I doubt they can sneak him through to waivers again, but through waivers to the practice squad again. But who knows? You never know.
All right. Let's talk about the defense.
The defense. Zombo. Frank Zombo.
Zombo.
Frank freaking Zombo playing with a broken scapula. That had to have hurt. He said it hurt, although he talked to our own Brian Caravu here at CheeseheadTV.com. Some great work by Brian there. After practice, he talked to Frank and got a little audio. You can check that out here on the homepage here at CheeseheadTV.
Yep.
But he played with it. Now, here's the other thing. Not only did he play with it, he played well. Like, he didn't just have, like, a slough off his game. Like, the guy set the edge. The guy was in there. You know, busting heads.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine how painful that must have been. I mean, maybe his adrenaline just took over and he just didn't feel it. I mean, he said something about, like, adrenaline taking over. And I get a hangnail and I'm in trouble, you know?
I don't like pain that much.
No, I have no pain tolerance. And he apparently has a billion pain tolerance on the Dungeons & Dragons level. A billion pain tolerance.
You just, you know, you like to say the word okie a lot.
Love Oki.
I'm noticing this.
Love me some Oki, baby.
I'm noticing this.
You know who else loves
Oki? I'm noticing this on the blog.
You know who else loves the word Oki?
Who's that?
That'd be Dom Capers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I like it. But in case you haven't seen, I did a post this week regarding what was reported by Bob McGinn earlier in camp about the switch of Ryan Pickett and B.J. Raji along the defensive line for what they call their Eagle and Oki fronts, or their alignments, sorry, for the defensive line. What I like about it is putting Pickett back in the middle where he can, what is called two gap. We have a video here of him. This is from a game back in 2009 at Lambeau Field against the Vikings. This is him two gap. This is a quintessential two gap where he stands up the defensive lineman. He's responsible for either the left side or the right side of that lineman. If, you know, Peterson goes inside or outside of him, he's responsible for those two gaps. And he gets off the block there, and he just takes Peterson down right at the line of scrimmage. It's a great play, and that's a play that B.J. Raji has struggled to make. A lot of people, you know, obviously he had a great run there in the playoffs, leading up to the playoffs, and in the playoffs, and in the Super Bowl. But that's a play that Raji struggles to make. Raji is much more suited to the defensive end spot where he's allowed to, you know, one gap where he's allowed to penetrate, use his quickness where he's really
Raji
good.
Raji can play anywhere on the line, though.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's
he's
totally
proven
true.
That.
He's told it. Well, look at this. I mean,
come on.
Not only can Raji play
especially
anywhere on
the line, especially on a zone blitz. Oh, yeah.
But wait.
Give me some BJ on a zone blitz.
And not only that. Look at Ryan Pickett
in
the Cardinals game playing defensive end and getting a sack.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Cobb should have thrown that ball away like 3 hours before he did, but
yeah, dude. He had like 3 chances to throw it away. It was
ridiculous. But there's Pickett with a sack from the defensive end
spot.
How much
is he making? Like $1.5 million dollars a game?
No, it's something ridiculous. It's ludicrous.
$100,000 per throw.
Something like that. I think that's right. But what's really exciting about this weekend is the chance for Friday night, a lot of the young guys are going to get chances. sometimes due to injury, sometimes just because I think Mike's going to want to see them. But Mike said today, Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Green Bay Packers, for those playing along, that the starters will play through the first half, and then the second string and beyond will come in after halftime into the third quarter and fourth quarter. You're going to see guys like Vic Soto.
Nice.
And, you know, DJ Smith. I like DJ Smith. I am liking what I saw from him. I like Lattimore. These guys are like, they're kind of crazy, kind of running around because they don't know what they're doing, but they're doing it with such fervor and like a wild abandon that you really, you can cheer for them. Mm. Unlike Ricky Elmore, who's kind of just, he looks really tentative. He looks like he's overthinking it, and he's just really, he seems really tight. Like he knows he's the draft pick, so he should be doing better than he is.
Yeah.
I just think he just needs to let it go, man. Just let
loosen
it go.
Loosen up, buddy.
Let the hair down. Just kill somebody.
Stop doing the homework and
just do it.
Let instinct take over.
No, of course. There's a whole lot more to it than that. We realize that. But
we do.
But
I mean, you got to study up. But when it comes to the day, you got to execute.
Exactly. When you get out there, you
can't be thinking about your homework.
Don't think about it. Just do it. Someplace else, another place I'm anxious to see some guys is in the secondary. Devon House finally back off of injury. I talked about this a little last night on my appearance on Fox 11, Green Bay.
Oh, man, I wish I had that video. That was actually good.
It was all right. Thank you so much to CD Angeli.
Yeah.
Or is it Angeli or
CD is recording those.
He's recording them off his phone.
We've got another one on the homepage tonight.
Yeah, so thank you, CD, for
it's good stuff.
For doing that. And
Aaron Nagler.
Scary
an
stuff.
An NFL analyst. You're on, like, dude. You're scary. On, like, regional Milwaukee television.
Green Bay television.
Maybe an appearance on national television in the morning?
No, maybe. We don't know.
All right, I won't say anything about that.
Don't say anything yet. But we keep that hush. Anyway, as you kind of let it out of the bag.
What? I didn't say anything.
So, yeah.
I said nothing. We need to call Brian Caribou.
Yeah, let's get to special teams, right?
Let's get it.
Wait. Let me wrap this up real quick. Devon House, I'm really excited to see him because he's been injured. He looked good before he got injured, and then he's been out forever. Josh Gordy is kind of making a play for a spot on the roster. Gordy was on the team last year. He was
Josh Gordy went to the Super Bowl.
He did. We saw him in two games. Gordy took his picture. It was very exciting. but so he's kind of made a little noise. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, see if House can, you know, kind of stand out from the crowd, as it were, and kind of make a bid for that fourth corner spot. But yes, let's call Mr. Brian Caribou and talk a little special teams.
Let's do it.
Should we do that? Sorry, people.
That hurt my ears.
Yeah, you're going to live. I hope Brian's ready. Because, you know, he never, ever picks up the phone when we call.
No.
Caribou, you better pick up. Because this is what people came. They didn't come for Tremont Williams. They came for you, buddy.
Hello?
Brian Caribou, how the heck are you?
Brian.
Doing good. Can't complain.
So nice. So what's your take on the Slocum Wall of Wonder here that I was talking about in the first segment?
You know what? What it made me think of is Tremont Williams had that touchdown return, I believe. We're going back a couple of years ago now. It was on a field goal formation against the Seahawks, but they actually did a little pooch punt out of it. So it kind of reminded me a little bit of that.
Do you think Tim Mastay has kind of, I guess, emerged as one of the top punters in the NFL? Because I do.
Oh, absolutely. Ever since the New York Jets game last year on Halloween, ever since that moment, he's been one of the best punters in the NFL. Took him a couple games last year. Took a little while to get comfortable and get used to things. But since that time, and especially considering the climate he punts in, it's just amazing. And the whole array of punts from the Aussie style punt to being able to boom it deep, he can do it all. And he's a future Pro Bowler, I think.
Oh. Bold proclamation there from Mr. Brian Caribou. So you'll come on here and say that Tim Mastay is a future Pro Bowler, but you won't give us a serious prediction for a game. I got
no,
it.
He can't do that
not
anymore.
Not for a preseason
I see.
Game.
I see.
Dude, he's legit now.
Yeah, exactly.
He can't be doing that.
No, absolutely not. Okay, we talked a little bit last week about the rule changes, and you know, as far as you know, the moving up of the kickoffs. Do you think now that Crosby is one of the highest paid kickers in the NFL, do you think that will prove to be a wise investment given the strength of his leg and his ability to get into the end zone nearly every time?
Oh, that is a good question, and I can't give you a good answer to that. I suppose we find out as time goes along. I mean, there's, you know, the old saying, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, and I've heard that said a couple times in reference to Mason Crosby, and that, you know, had they let him go, or, you know, had they let him test the free agent market and go somewhere else, you know, they take the chance of getting something worse, and they've done that at punter, and they've I think perhaps learned their lesson. So, you know, hopefully, you know, he just gets above that 80% mark, and you know, you hope that, you know, he starts getting some touchbacks. I don't think they're going to happen all the time in the cold weather, and I interviewed El Del Greco a couple months ago for the Maple Street Press, and he said you got to take into effect the climate they play in when you analyze the job of a kicker in Green Bay.
All right, brass tacks here, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Caravu going into Indianapolis, no Peyton Manning. Do the Packers win by 40, or do they win by 140?
I'm going with 140,
that
I guess.
That is the correct answer. That is the correct answer. No. Actually, in all seriousness, Brian was at practice this week for a couple days. Was there anybody who stood out to you while you were there seeing them live? I mean, it's always a different environment there at Radnitsky Field than it is, you know, when you're watching it on television. You're seeing guys hitting, you're seeing guys practicing, you're seeing, you know, tempo, who stands out, who kind of lags behind. Was there anybody who caught your eye?
Something that was just interesting to me is I think things are starting to click a little bit for Ricky Elmore. I've seen him in two preseason games, and he looked pathetic, and the reports from other people coming out of camp have not been glowing either. But when I saw him, I think, you know, he's starting to get a little bit. He's not good in coverage yet, and I'm sure that'll take quite a while. I mean, he played in a three-point stance his entire college career. But, you know, there might be a little bit there as a pass rusher, and you know, we'll see as it comes along. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, even so much as make the team, but I think, you know, after missing in a whole entire offseason, you know, he's starting to learn a little bit. So there's hope.
Fantastic. All right, Brian Caravu.
Brian!
Joining us here, Packer Transplants Live. You can read his stuff here at CheeseheadTV.com, or you can pick up the Maple Street Press Packers Annual.
Yes, you can get it on the homepage.
Absolutely. Buy it now.
Get it.
Get the Packer knowledge. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Brian Caravu joining
there you
us
go.
Here on Packer Transplant.
And we're on the homepage of Livestream.com.
That's kind of crazy.
Hi, Livestream.com.
Hi, Livestream.
How's it going?
Hi, world of Livestream. Hi. We're Packer Geeks. It's very nice to see you. That's Corey Banky. That's the head of production in New York City for your company, right there behind me.
I'm sorry.
Just want to point that out. There he is on the homepage of his website.
Woo!
Yeah, dog. Corey Banky.
Is it time to take a break?
Yeah, why not? Then when we come back, we'll take a spin around the Packer blogosphere.
Packer blogosphere. Jason Wilde. My goodness. Oh, I got some of the best stuff coming up.
Oh, no.
What? Wait. We got to do it. Oh.
The ding-chang gong is broken yet again.
I'm just trying to hit it hard. That's all.
So we're going to take a little break. When we come back.
Oh, man.
Who knows what will happen right here. Packer Transplants Live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. Aaron Negler and Corey Banky joining you here on this fine Wednesday evening.
Yes, 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 yes. Tremont!
Tremont Williams.
That did happen.
That Tremont Williams was on the show.
I know, it seems like a dream. It actually happened.
It not only happened, okay. It was crazy.
Speaking of, we got to talk about something.
Oh.
Do you know what it's time for?
Oh, my goodness. Do I ever. Do I ever.
Am I going to be able to find it?
I doubt it. You weren't ready. You just had a four-minute commercial break, and you're not even ready.
Oh.
So just talk about what you want to talk about.
No, let's just
that. Come on. What are you going to talk about it
what?
Or not?
I am.
Oh, you're just but you're gonna wait till you get your perfect intro. Okay. Should I talk about something else while you're searching the depths of your computer?
Yeah.
Of course, everything I wanted to talk about is after that intro as well. But one thing we didn't touch on in the last segment that I did want to get to was Mike McCarthy naming T.J. Lang as the starter. Without really naming T.J. Lang as the starter, I just found it was interesting the way he did it. He was asked about the position. He pretty much said everything but T.J. Lang is our starter. But he did say that it's T.J.'s responsibility to hold on to the job.
Yeah.
So that pretty much tells you he's the starter.
There you go.
And as I said at the beginning of the show, he didn't have the greatest game against the Cardinals. Again, the second week in a row, he's a little slow to react on the stunts. And you know, that's probably to be expected, you know, game action being as limited as it's been. At that position for TJ, you know, the more he plays, the better he will get at it. You just want to see a little improvement as the brief season rolls on to protect Mr. Franchise there as your quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're overreacting in the second
I'm not
week.
Overreacting. I'm
All
just
right.
saying.
So
I'm just saying.
Let me just say,
uh-oh.
Fans of this show know.
All four of you.
We have the Greg Bedard siren.
We do.
We have the Dick Changong. Right? And so on Twitter during the game, in the third quarter, I believe, I put those two things. Greg Bedard siren, Dick Changong, Jason Wilde
blank.
Dot, 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 dot. Right?
Corey Behnke would like to give you a list of what was submitted to be Jason Wilde's call sign here at Packers.
I don't know what the winner is, but I got
There's no winner.
There was a lot of stuff.
Everyone's a winner.
Horn, whelp, woot, woohoo, whine, whistle, whiplash, Wilde whistle, blue light special, whatever it is, it has to be pink, three Wilde whips, and something I can't name.
Oh, my goodness.
And there you go.
Whatever it is, it has to be pink. I think that's my favorite.
There's definitely a trend somewhere in there.
A lot of W words.
Woo! Well, it's the Wilde thing.
The whole Wilde.
It's the play
alliteration.
So
we're still taking submissions, is what we're saying.
I haven't.
If Jason Wilde ever deigns us with his presence ever again.
Yeah.
Well, which is dubious at this point, but we'll see. Maybe he'll come on. We'd love to have you, Jason, if you'd ever like to come back on the show.
Yeah.
If you're watching right now in your home in De Pere, you're thinking,
not.
What a bunch of jackasses. You're free to come call the show and call us jackasses to our face on the internet. Because we know we are said jackasses. Something I wanted to touch on in the world of the Packer blogosphere. I meant to get to this last week, but we had a surprise visit from Tom Crabtree. It kind of threw us off schedule a little bit. One Packer blog entitled Packer Update. We've had a long
Packer Update.
Some might say contentious relationship with Michael Rodney, proprietor of Packer Update. And I just want to lay this out so I have it on hard disk, I guess you'd say.
On
cloud.
On
whatever,
digitization.
Whatever it is. It's not on tape is what I'm trying to say.
No.
But I just want to say, I want to put this out here publicly. And I hope somehow, some way this reaches Michael. Mike, buddy, I really think you're really good at what you do. I think you're a really good writer. And I think the website you have is fantastic. I really do, and I sincerely mean that. But the fact that you called Cheesehead TV bullshit really pisses me off. And the fact that you wouldn't let me respond to you calling our site bullshit on your blog, and you just refused to moderate my comment, just let it sit there in the ether and never put it on your website, that's Bush League, buddy. You're a supposed ex-professional journalist, and you can't handle a little criticism, and you call the people who criticize you, you just call their entire body of work bullshit. I usually try to, I know Ankert is watching, and I'm sorry, Ankert, for the language, But I'm quoting Mr. Rodney here.
Oh, man.
Let me tell you how we operate here at Cheesehead TV for a moment. Just for a moment. I've had people question where I've gotten information when I've said things, when I've quote-unquote reported things.
It's true.
Lockout was going on, I reported that Mark Murphy was instrumental in the breakthrough that came regarding the rookie pay scale.
Yeah, you did.
I got a lot of pushback on that. I had a couple beat guys question me about it. I know the Packers pushed back on that. And I got, you know, I saw some negative stuff written about me and the site.
Well,
in regards to, oh, they're a bunch of hack bloggers. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, because it's which mouth are you listening to?
But so here we go. So then Peter King comes out and basically confirms what I wrote regarding Mark Murphy. A couple weeks ago on Monday Morning Quarterback, he wrote about how the players were really pissed at Mark Murphy for what he said about the NFL doing too much for its players, but how his expertise had led to the breakthrough in the rookie salary scale. So I didn't see anything about that written anywhere by anyone. No one's saying, oh, Nagler got that one right. So I just want to say, when we put stuff like that up, it's rare. We know. We don't break news here at Cheesehead TV. It's rare. We broke the ring ceremony. We broke that. I broke the thing about Mark Murphy. Fine. It's minimal. It's you know, I don't do it a whole lot because I don't have great sources because I'm just a blogger. But I don't put stuff like that on the website without, you know, having it, without being told. The other one that I had, I didn't break this one, but I confirmed it, was the fact that some Packer players were called during the lockout. That happened, people. And people want to say whatever, blah, 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 blah. I don't put that out there unless I've got it.
Yeah, well, it's easy to hate.
It is easy to hate. So, to wrap this up, to put a bow on it.
It's very easy to hate,
Michael,
especially on the internet.
So, Michael, you can call our website bullshit when I've done nothing but say that I very much appreciate what you do. I think your website's fantastic. I think you have great takes on the Packers. I disagree with some of them, but I recognize your talent. I think you're a good writer, and I think you know football. It's very obvious. But come on, be bigger than that. Just be bigger than that. And I'm the first person to, you know, call people out and say I disagree or whatever, but I don't call a guy's entire body of work bullshit. That's just ridiculous.
Word. You're like the internet Keith Olbermann.
God, that's unfortunate. Since I can't stand Keith Olbermann. But that's good. That's good. I'll take that. I'll take that. God help us
that
all.
That doesn't bother me at all.
I know. I know it doesn't bother you at
all.
I
like that you can't stand it. I think that's funny.
I can't stand Keith Olbermann. But that's just me. It is.
Dude,
it is.
Tremont Williams.
Tremont Williams was on this show. Dick Chang, no! All right. I think we need to take some calls.
Let's do it.
As long as my children don't call, I think we're fine.
Woo!
Of course, I don't. The other
Here
problem
we go.
Is,
this is
the other problem is I don't think anybody's watching.
This
so.
Is a pre-season only exclusive. We don't do this.
Taking calls.
That's a
God help
dangerous.
Us.
Look, we need threat. We need thread. James
phones,
says.
Phone's ringing off the hook here, dude.
What?
Phone's ringing, dude. No,
phone's
it's
ringing,
not.
Dude.
It's not ringing. Come on, people. Usually when we do this,
they're
people
surprised.
Call like 30 seconds.
People are
into
like very surprised.
I know,
they're
I
like,
know.
What?
Where's my phone?
Can't handle it.
I'm hoping Jason Willey calls.
He's not going to call, dude.
No, he's not. Should we call? Should we just prank people? I think we should. I think we should just start calling people. I think we should just start calling like random Packers.
We should call Greg Bedard.
No, we should. We got his number. Come on.
He's not
or okay, if you're shy, which I know, it's all right. You're shy.
They can't handle talking to the nags.
Oh, they can handle talking to me. I'm nobody.
They can't handle it.
I'm just some schmo. Throw up some questions on the live blog, and we'll talk about that.
There you go.
How about that? Jerky boys style. Yes, Brian. Jerky boys style. Someone called in and said it's busy. I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Look at that. Oh, hey, come on now.
Uh-oh.
I'm
scared.
I don't like this number. I don't like the number.
Oh, man.
You're on Packer Transplants live on Cheesehead TV. Hello.
Oh, no.
Hey, what's up, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey! What's your name, buddy?
Steve from St. Paul.
Hi, Steve from St. Paul. How are you tonight?
Yeah, dark side. I want to talk a little bit about Quinn Johnson.
All right.
And what you think his chances are of making the team, I guess.
Well, it's interesting. He ran with a first-string special teams today for the first time in a long time. I think it was kick return. It may have been kick coverage. What's interesting to me when it comes to Quinn Johnson is a lot of people talk about his lead blocking and his opening holes and whatnot. But interestingly enough, Pro Football Focus had him rated as the number one pass blocking back as far as number of attempts. He allowed zero pressure last year. He was never beaten in pass protection. So you look at that and you think, okay, well, that's really valuable on a team that likes to pass the ball a lot. But then you look at all the tight ends they have, and you know how McCarthy likes to move them inside and use them at that H-back position as a fullback sometimes. I got to think it's a long shot at this point. I mean, I know people, again, they like to talk about his power lead blocking, but I just, he gets up in there and he knocks guys off their feet sometimes, but that's not what this offense is about. You know, it's about throwing the ball around the yard.
When he does block, it just seems like he basically blocks into the back of a lineman.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I've seen that as well. And I know a good friend Alex Talish, formerly of the Packers Lounge, made a great video of Quinn Johnson knocking people to the ground. It's a great video. But it's a highlight video. And there are lots and lots of plays where it's exactly as you say. He's like kind of running into a pile. And I don't know maybe that's a result of the scheme, of the zone blocking scheme. I don't know. All I just know is that this talk about his great lead blocking, it's just the tape doesn't really back that up. So as far as his chances of making the team, I think he's really on the bubble. I think he's got to he's really got to show something his last couple games, or else I think they keep five tight ends.
Thanks for calling.
All right, well, right on. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Awesome.
Look at that.
Sweet!
A call from enemy territory.
Dude. Steve from St. Paul.
From the dark side. Poor guy. Sorry, Steve. I mean, I'm sure it's a lovely home and a beautiful area, but I'm sorry.
It usually helps if I switch the camera before.
Yeah, but we like your back, so it's okay. It's okay.
Wow.
Big thanks to Steve for calling in. Look at that.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate
First time
it.
Callers are always fun.
That's awesome.
Hey, Steve, that was 3,000 times better than, what was his name?
Fred.
We got to get that and use that as a bump.
Some point. As far as the 91st episode goes, that's one of our better callers.
Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about in regards to the Packer blogosphere? Going back for just a second. Oh, we've got another call.
Uh-oh.
Wisconsin area code. I don't know if I picked this up. Good evening. No. You are on Packer Transplants Live on Cheesehead TV. Who is this?
This is Colin from Milwaukee.
How are you tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm all right. I don't know. I hear dance music, and I don't know where it's coming from. How are you tonight?
That's coming from you.
Is that coming from me?
I think that's Aaron's computer.
Which is awesome.
Maybe Colin's playing that.
Colin, are you playing some dance music, buddy?
No, I'm not playing anything.
Oh, that's great. I've got nothing up. So, Colin, what did you want to talk about?
I'm sure you're well aware that they're announcing the plans for the expansion. I was reading on the Green Bay Press Gazette that they were talking about not only the expansion of the south end zone, but they were talking about modifications to the north. Do you know anything about that, or are they just talking about the new video board?
Let me ask you this first. Are you a fan of that idea?
You mean of new video boards?
Yeah, like upgrading Lambo.
It definitely needs a little bit more room, I think. A little bit more seating.
Right.
But as far as I'm not really sure what they were planning on doing with the north end zone, and if you guys knew if that was just the video display boards, or were they thinking about doing something else there too?
I think mostly it's like, and it's funny because when it was reported that they were going to do that, I was skeptical to say the least. But then it was funny because I went to New Meadowlands and I saw their beautiful video boards. And then I went to Lambeau that next week and their video boards are wanting, to say the least. So I think as far as like keeping up with the Joneses, as far as like the NFL and everyone around the league, you've got to be able to compete as far as the game day experience. So I can totally understand that.
Okay, I was just curious if you had any other inside information on what was going on with the north side of the field. So
not yet. There's not too much out there, but definitely check out. You know, Tony Walter's always on top of it. If anybody's got it, the Green Bay Press Gazette will have it first.
All right, great. Thanks.
Thanks so much for the call. Somebody posted a video on the live blog, and it came right through.
Colin, we're sorry about that.
I'm so sorry about that, buddy.
Dude, yeah, I was like, oh, you have iTunes on.
It wasn't, because I opened iTunes to make sure it wasn't iTunes.
I know, and it was somebody posted on the live blog. We're sorry about that.
Sorry about that. It happens. It's
all right. Nagler.
I'm
your computer. Come
it's
on.
My computer, man. It's my computer. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I was looking at the live blog. I'll never do that again in our totally interactive show.
We got another call.
Someone else we can totally piss off. Cheesehead TV, Packer Transplants Live. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm good. This is Max. How you guys doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
What's up? What do you want to talk about?
Minnesota,
another one.
Minnesota, man.
I know.
How can you do it, man? How can you do it? How can you live there?
you know. That's actually something I want to talk about.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
So I was thinking about the last call about the expansion on the field and everything, getting people coming into the stadium, the whole game day experience.
Right.
What can the Packers possibly do more to get people to come in? I mean, you obviously have the diehards that go every game, they're receiving tickets, things like that. But then thinking bigger around the league as well.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go to the Metrodome. I mean, save unless they're inviting me into the press box. And other than that, like, what are teams doing? Like, what can they do?
Well,
to stop me just sitting and watching an NFL Sunday ticket.
Right, and that's a big. That's interesting enough. Sports Business Daily wrote. I'm sorry, Sports Business Journal wrote about that today, or maybe it was yesterday. But they did say that the NFL has a real concern in that they know they need full stadiums to play well on television, and the quandary is that, as you say. Why do you not just stay at home with your Sunday ticket, see all the games, have you totally set up with your food and your beverage and whatever, and you don't have to deal with parking, you don't have to deal with rude fans. I mean, goodness gracious.
Dude.
Look what happened in San Francisco. No, I know.
You're talking to somebody who has been to...
No, I'm not. I'm talking to the gentleman on the phone.
Game after game after game.
So I understand the NFL's concern there, and I think you're going to see a lot more of the stuff that, the Cowboys have done, like New England has done, and what Green Bay plans to do as far as like the Titletown district. You've got to get other things, other forms of entertainment to draw people in. That might not necessarily be on game day per se, but it's definitely geared towards getting people to come to the stadium.
True.
And if that can help with attendance at other places around the NFL, that's the future. That's where the NFL is going.
Right. I mean, you got to do something. It's, 5 hours away from Lambeau, and it's good. You know, I'd love the Packers, and I'm gonna go as much as I can. But there's kind of drawn me. There's not much drawing me besides just sitting in the stands. And I know Corey, you're gonna hate me for this, but I'd rather just sit on the couch. You know, I got no lines to the bathroom. I got beer in my fridge.
It's true.
What's getting me there?
That to me is the whole key.
I mean,
beer in your fridge. I mean, that's it.
Show the Philadelphia fans video, okay, of them going. And it's 200 people. I mean, whether you like the Packers or not.
Corey just likes to get in fights, but I totally get what you're saying, and I'm in agreement, and I understand the quandary that the NFL is in. All right, thanks a lot for the call from enemy
Max.
Territory.
Awesome.
All right, see you guys.
I think he brings up a great point. It's true. I mean, you go to a game. It's just different at Lambeau. So I know Packer fans are kind of spoiled because it's so great and the atmosphere is so great. But,
It's great.
So I understand. We've got another call. Look at
this.
It's like a flood now.
Uh-oh.
Packer Transplants Live, Cheesehead TV. It's Aaron and Corey. Who's
this? What's happening?
Hello?
Hello. You're on Packer Transplants Live.
This is Ryan from Tallahassee.
Hi, Ryan. How are you tonight?
Hey,
what's up, dude?
From I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, man, turn your volume down a little bit because you're going to hear that on delay.
I can see it's delayed. The ceiling's delayed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, about what that last guy said.
Right.
He was talking about, I don't know, like I said, I'm in Tallahassee, so anytime the Packers are within like 500 miles, like, I'm there. I will choose a Packer game actually going. Like, I was there for the Falcon playoff game last year.
Right.
That was amazing. I understand, I guess, the comfort of being in your own home watching the game, but... Right. I would choose going to a Packer game in a heartbeat.
Well,
anytime within Florida, 500 miles of me, I'm there. Like
there
that.
You go.
See, Corey is the same way. What is it about the live experience that you love? Is it just the team and the Packers that just you're so passionate
about?
It's
the Tundra line, dude.
Shut up.
Just kidding.
Or is it just live football that attracts you?
Well, I go to a lot of Florida State games since I'm in Tallahassee, so it's not necessarily just live football. I think it's just the Packers. I've been a diehard Packers fan since I was about 7.
There you go.
So
nice.
You know, it's just the Packers, and there's nothing else like it. There's nothing that comes close to seeing the Packers in person. It's just like it's going to sound a little corny, but it takes your breath away.
No, I totally agree, man. I totally agree.
I would agree.
I'm absolutely right there with you.
I never get sick of it.
Are you planning to see any games this year?
Well, I went with two buddies of mine to the Falcon game last year, the playoff game.
Right. Nice.
We're talking about going back again this year.
Awesome.
I also actually, on top of that, I went to my first game at Lambeau last year.
There you go.
I went to the one in the Giants game.
Oh, great game to be
at. That was an experience, you know, that was, again, I could sit here for an hour and not even come close to how great it was.
Fantastic.
But I don't want to, like, sit here and ramble on about that. I had a question.
All right, hit us.
What do you guys think about, because I saw how Corey was about Tremon Williams.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much how I am about Jermichael Finley.
There you go.
I'm nuts about Jermichael Finley.
Awesome.
So
love it.
I just want to know what your take was on, you know, I know it's his last year, his contract's running out.
Right.
What do you? I know we drafted, you know, DJ Williams and Ryan Taylor, but what do you think? Do you think we re-sign him? Because I know some people have a problem with, like, his attitude or.
Oh, I think that's I think that's totally overblown.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing about his. You know, people make an issue of what he says on Twitter, about what he says in interviews. I think that's totally overblown. I think they re-sign him. I think DJ Williams is a talent and is a great prospect. But Jermichael Finley is a once-in-a-lifetime talent at the position. He's an Antonio Gates.
Potential.
You know, but that's the thing. If he stays, the whole thing is if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
You know, if he's healthy through week 10 or 11... or whenever the cutoff is for them to put money into this year, I think you'll see him extended.
Dude, now you're getting me excited.
During the season. But I think he's too good. He's too much of a matchup nightmare. And I know people like to point to, oh, they won a Super Bowl without him. Yeah, just imagine how much better that they would be other than 10-6 and sneaking into the playoffs. I mean, they had to get to the playoffs first, and they barely did that.
And 3rd and 18 just opened up for you.
You know, so... I think they get it done. I think they've
like
got,
you have a legitimate fly pattern option.
I think
wherever you put him.
I think they've got the salary space. They've got the space to do it, to give him a contract akin to what Gates got, and akin to what Davis signed a few years ago. I think it was last year. So, I think he'll be with the team for a while.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. But I know Sitton's probably first on the list of. Extensions. I just hope they decide, you know, that he's, you know, I agree with you that it's overblown about his attitude. I think he's confident. What's wrong with a little confidence?
Absolutely, like, nothing. I think
there's nothing wrong with that.
I just think there's a lot of old school ridiculousness right there. All right, man. Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Packer Transplants Live, rolling. Tallahassee,
woo!
Florida.
That's what it's all about.
We're everywhere.
Live on the internet.
Live on the internet. That's kind of crazy.
Come on now.
Right? Oh, Corey, we've got another call. I think you should take this
man.
One.
Oh, man. What's happening?
Packer Transplants Live. You're on Cheesehead TV. How are you tonight?
Hey, fellas. How are you? It's Kyle Kuzino calling from wonderful Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Kyle Kuzino! What is up, Kyle Kuzino? The mayor, mayor of Green Bay has phoned our little show.
I heard some talk of Lambeau Field experience. So I figured I had to call in.
Wow!
I gotta ask: is Max drinking this evening? He would rather sit at home than be at a game at Lambeau Field.
Hey man, wait a second.
Oh.
Don't hey. We're all Packer fans. We all enjoy the Packers the way we want to.
That's what I'm talking
Nothing
about.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm giving Max a hard time.
I know. As
I'm sure he knows, I hope.
How the heck are you, Kyle?
I'm doing great, man. Doing excellent.
Awesome.
Not bad at all. Just getting ready for September 8th to get here, and that's about it.
Hey, Kyle, I gotta ask you a question. What's your take?
Sir.
What's your take on the semi-breaking news this evening that Kid Rock, Lady Antebellum, and Maroon 5 are the musical acts for the opener?
Well, I think everyone just assumed that it was Kid Rock based on what was kind of thrown out. And I do have to give props to my friend Tom, who was kind of the one that, you know, got that ball rolling.
All right.
I didn't think it was going to be Black Eyed Peas just because of the Super Bowl halftime show. And usually they always try to promote, you know, one of those bands, they're always trying to promote, you know, a new album or something coming up. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was apropos that it was Maroon 5, considering that Adam Levine, the lead singer, is one of the judges on The Voice, which is on NBC.
Ding, ding, ding.
A friend of mine that works for the Packers had told me that it was going to be a big-name country act, and I guess that's Lady Antebellum. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a blast. I think this city is going to be a mess that week prior because they're shutting down.
Yeah,
they're shutting down Oneida Street, which is not that I cannot take a variable route to my office every morning, but I do take Lombardi Avenue to Oneida Street every day on my way to work. But it's not a big deal. I think it's going to be a blast. I encourage anyone and everyone that if you can make it, even if you cannot get a ticket to the game, I think it's going to be the biggest party that Green Bay's ever seen. They're talking about 200,000 plus people being down by the stadium for the game, which is going to be rocking.
nice.
As you guys know, being from northeastern Wisconsin yourselves, stuff like this does not happen in our town.
No.
You know, it kind of. I was not here for Return to Titletown 2 because I was still in Dallas, but I was at the first Return to Titletown, and that was a mess. And that was 15 years ago, and I think this is probably going to rival it, because I mean they're shutting down schools, they're shutting down roads, they're shutting down everything just for this party, and it's going to be a blast.
Well, they should.
Yeah,
I saw
not?
Some people questioning the decision to let
just
kids out early from school.
Come
are you
on.
Crazy? Just are these people insane?
Hey,
just come on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. When the Packers won Super Bowl 31, I was a junior in high school. And literally after the Super Bowl broadcast, the mayor came on and said that they were shutting down school the next day so the kids could enjoy, you know, the Return of Titletown celebration. It's what we do in Green Bay.
It's just it's football town. Come on now.
Exactly. If there's a party that involves the Packers, we're shutting the city down.
Well, tell Tommy that I had some. This is true.
That's how it should.
Tell
be,
Tommy, right? I had someone from the NFL call me after he put that tweet out about the Black Eyed Peas and Kid Rock. I had someone from the NFL call me and go, "Who the hell is this guy?" So he knows.
The same person that called you, if it's who I think it is, followed me and sent me a DM and asked me the same thing.
Nice.
Awesome.
from the PR department. So I've got to give props to Tom and his wonderful wife Angela because she was actually the one. It's a typical Green Bay City salon hairdresser. I heard from so-and-so story.
That's
but
awesome.
You know what? It turned out to be true, so I got to give Angela and Tommy major
there
props.
There you go.
Mad props. All right, Kyle.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground in Green Bay. Kyle, thanks so much for calling in tonight, buddy.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Kyle Kuzino,
man.
Mayor of Green Bay.
Yep.
I mean, you know, the office says Mayor Schmidt, but it's Mayor Cusino. Just so we're all aware.
Oh, there you go.
Just so we're all aware. My goodness, another phone call.
What is
it's like,
happening?
It's like people like watch this show or something.
Nobody.
Back at Transplants Live, you're on Cheesehead TV.
Hey, Corey, and I'm the Steve Tate.
Steve!
The owner
in the house.
Oh, no, yes.
Steve, how the heck are you, buddy?
Woo! I'm doing very well. What a wild show, man, hearing Tamon on the air and my buddy Kyle on the heavy end. And, talking about, I can't believe people would say that they would sit at home. I could see a lot of places. I'm here by Madison, and I don't go to every Badger game, but I'll do anything I can to get to a Packer game, home or on the road, but especially Lambeau. Well, it's just pumping. And here's about the opening day coming up. Man, people better get up there early if you're going. It's going to
Steve, you know I'm with you, Steve. You know I'm with you.
I mean, I think this is turning out to be the most controversial thing ever said on Becca
Transplants.
You know
I'm with you. Yeah.
So, Steve, obviously you're going to be at the game. How early are you going to get to the stadium?
I'm planning on getting up there around 8 or 9 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
Come on now.
You're making me want to go.
Well, first of all, I mean, I made the mistake at the Super Bowl, which, Corey, that was really a great game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That was cool. It was great, but I made the mistake of going to the NFL Experience, like, on Saturday, and I thought I'd just get through in a couple hours. Well, you can't do that.
Uh-oh.
And they say that that whole road there between the Rush Center and Hudson Center there is going to be just same thing. Whole NFL Experience hall. So just, I want to get up there to get through that and then get out. I know all sorts of tailgates going on. And
oh, yeah.
Hal's got even more pumped now saying that, you know, there's a couple hundred thousand are going to be out there. So it's going to be a blast. And I'm really looking forward to it. So.
What's your prediction? What's your prediction for the game?
Boy, you know, this is, the Saints are going to be hungry. They're going to be coming up there, but I think with Finley and the offense and everyone back off of IR, I think it's going to be something like 35-25. I really think the Packers are going to jump on this one.
I love it. Steve, thanks so much for calling us, buddy.
You bet, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
Steve, the owner.
You see him in, like, any location about the Packers ever.
He is
ever.
The man. Okay, he seriously is really cool.
There he is, live on our show. And now it's time to go. We've used our allotted time.
Yes,
Back at Transplants
have.
Live.
That's all there
Big,
is.
Big, humongous, tremendous.
Tremonstrosity.
Tremendous thank you to Tremon Williams for coming on our little rinky-dink program tonight.
Wow.
Thanks to Brian Caravu for That's directing awesome. The live blog. Thanks to everyone for showing up. Everyone, you are what makes this engine go. It's evidenced by the calls tonight. Thank you so much. It's really this. We like to think this is a unique experience that the Packers like to copy, and basically everybody else now at this point. But we know you were here first. You were the fans who sought us out. You know, brought us to where we are. We thank you so much. We are off next week due to my family vacation. Happens every year, so I don't want to hear any bitching. But we'll be back at some point. I'm not quite sure when that first week, either before or after the game. But then, once the season starts, we'll start rolling every week. But make sure you check out CheeseheadTV.com, Eat More Cheese, our fan blog. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Lots and lots and lots of Packer goodness coming up this season here at CheeseheadTV.com. For Corey Behnke, I'm Aaron Nagler. Thank you so much. Have a great night.